The Islamic State kidnapped thousands of children, most of them from the small Yazidi religious minority, when ISIS tried to wipe out the Yazidis 5 years ago. They were Kurdish-speaking Yazidi children torn from their families and raised as Arabic-speaking Muslims. They're still being rescued in Syria. And as NPR's Jana Raff reports, although they're free, some are having trouble in reclaiming their identities.
In a quiet village in northeastern Syria, in a large room with carpets and cushions on the floor, an older Yazidi woman with traditional tattoos on her chin passes around candy. It's in celebration of two Yazidi girls being freed the night before from the ISIS family who held them captive. This is like their birthday, Mahmoud Rasho says. He's the Syrian Yazidi official who found them, and whose family is taking care of them until they can go home to Iraq. Jilan is 11 and Watfa is 10. Jilan sits hunched over. She's taken the brown and white scarf that had covered her long dark hair and wrapped it around her thin shoulders like a shawl. You would think she'd be overjoyed, but she didn't want to be rescued. I just want to live with Ali, Jilan says. Ali is my real family. Ali is the Iraqi woman the girls lived with for the past 2 years. When the last part of the ISIS caliphate fell, Ali and the two Yazidi girls she was pretending were hers were taken to a detention camp along with 70,000 other people. That's where Rasho, a Yazidi official who's been looking for Yazidis secretly kept in the camp, found them. He and his family have taken care of almost 150 rescued women and children, some injured, all of them traumatized, before sending them home to Sinjar in Iraq. Some nights they would have more than a dozen people sleeping in their living room.
Ali was selling girls. She was marrying them off when they were 2 or 3 years older than these girls.
But that's not how Watfa and Jilan see it. They were 5 and 6 when they were kidnapped and say they don't remember it. They don't remember their parents' full names. Jilan says Ali took them in when they had no one to care for them.
She raised me. She would tell me, this is okay. This is not okay. This is good. This is not good. She taught me how to read and write.
Watfa sits across the room with her arms around her knees. She looks at the patterned carpet on the concrete floor. Compared to the camp she came from, this is luxury, but she's miles away. It's hot, but she wears a long-sleeved shirt and sweatpants. I don't want anything except to go back to Ali, she says. She's better than my mother. Rasho asks Jilan if she wants to see her family, her father, her brother and sister, back in Sinjar. She says no. The girls have forgotten the Kurdish dialect of Yazidis. They speak only Arabic now. And they say they don't even want to be Yazidi. Yazidi girls and young women don't cover their hair. But Jilan says she likes wearing the niqab, the black cloak that covers everything but the face, because, she says, God says we need to wear it. Rasho's teenage daughter, Haya, comes in dressed in jeans and a pink T-shirt. She tells the girls not to cry, but they're inconsolable. She's more precious than my mother, Jilan says about Ali. Rasho takes Watfa out for a video call with her family in Canada, where they moved after her mother was rescued from ISIS. She's already spoken to her mother, and this time it's other relatives. They stand on a windy rooftop where the reception is better. You can see fruit trees and chickens in the yard. Rasho has his arm around the little girl as he holds the phone. With no common language, it's a halting conversation. You don't know Kurdish, her relatives keep asking? You have to speak Kurdish, no Arabic. Watfa gives one-word answers until she recognizes a young uncle. You've become a man, she tells him. Rasho tells them she'll be going back soon to Iraq. You see, they love you and they want to talk to you. Aren't they better than Ali? Rasho asks her afterwards. No, she says. But she's smiling now. Rasho's daughter, Haya, tells Watfa they can watch cartoons together and a Bollywood film. The girls have never seen one. Instead, Watfa puts on a pink cloak that covers everything but her face to pray. Jilan retrieves the black niqab she was rescued in the night before. She clutches it in her hands, and then she puts it on, a serene smile on her face. When I leave, she gives me an Islamic blessing. Rasho says it's hard now, but after a month at home, he's confident they'll remember who they were before ISIS. Jane Araf, NPR News, near Hasakah in northeastern Syria.